Open up to Galatians chapter 1, and we're going to get into this Bible study. Some of you have had a head start. We have a number of home groups, community groups we call them, that meet, and one of them, under the direction of Tony Dronkers, are you guys finished? Did you just complete, Galatians? You got a little bit left. So they're going to be taking notes and putting me in check, make sure I got my teaching right. So, which all of you should do. The Bible says that you should study the Word and not just listen to it, but study it so that you know if I'm teaching you the right stuff. So we want to encourage you. We have a Wednesday morning men's group that gets together every Wednesday morning. What time do we meet? 6:30 in the morning. And we are going verse by verse, sometimes word by word, through the book of Acts. And on Wednesday nights at my home, we're doing the book of Ephesians. We have about 5-6 other groups that are doing studies like this. If you want to get deeper into just the knowledge of knowing God more and getting into the Word, we encourage you to explore these options and get plugged in so that you can get more out of what God has to offer. Now, I say that at the same time of saying that we're about to enter into a very interesting topic through which Paul wrote about in the book of Galatians. And over the next several weeks, we'll pause from time to time to do a couple other teachings, but we're going to basically go through the book of Galatians. Each week that I teach, there'll be a couple weeks that we pause, that Andrew will teach a little, TJ is going to teach some, and we'll pause, but keep coming back because we're going to go, and I'll try to give you kind of a heads up. Today, because of time, we're not going to get through the full chapter of chapter 1, but we're going to basically be in chapter 1 for the next two teachings. Today, my focus is chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. So if you get that on the screen, Austin, we'll be ready to read through that. Before we go there, let me tell you about some important things coming up that really relates to all of this and is really about who we are as a church. Number one, Hope Hill Church exists for three reasons. Can anybody tell me what they are? The first one starts with the letter G. Very good. Glorify God. The second one, transform lives. And the third one, impact our world. Exactly. Very good. We want to see God glorified in every... What did I miss? Oh, well, that's good. We make it easy for you to cheat. You can look at the back of your seats. And everything that we do, not just here on a Sunday morning. Actually, if it's only happening on a Sunday morning, we're completely missing the boat. We want to be giving our lives 100% over to God so that in everything we do, we bring glory to Him. And we want to enable you and equip you to be able to do that, not just here on Sunday mornings, not just a part of your community group, not just in your personal time, but in everything we do. We want God to call us to be His chosen people that are cleverly disguised as teachers and principals and politicians and military soldiers and personnel. Wherever we go, that's our disguise as missionaries called by God. Does that make sense? So in everything we do, our first purpose should be to glorify God and make Him known. The second thing is to allow our lives to be transformed by Him so that we can then bring His truth to help transform other lives. And this message is not just for us. Last week I gave you a message of hope, which is basically He loves us, our sins separate us, paying for our sins, Christ died for us, and everyone who believes in Him will become a child of His. We want to bring that message to the rest of this world so that lives truly can be transformed. And in the end, we make an impact in this world. We make an impact by being the hands and feet of Jesus to our neighbors, to our coworkers, to the people across the world by going there ourselves or enabling other people to go and equipping ministry that's being done. That's what Hope Hill Church is about. Above all of that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of our church, and it's His gospel that makes it all possible. And if any of those first things I said are an end in and of themselves, and they aren't bringing us closer to Jesus, then we're missing it. Does that make sense? Did I say that clear enough? Galatians, what's happened in the book of Galatians? You can take off chapter 1 and just put the sign up. I'm going to rant for a while. We may not actually get to verse 1 today. There is crisis happening when this letter is being written. Paul, the very first word in the book of Galatians, is it Paul in most of your versions? Paul. Paul was writing most of the books that letters of Paul we have in our Bible. He was actually telling somebody who was writing for him. Now, I don't know if it was because Paul often had his hands in chains and couldn't do the writing himself, because he often was put in prison for proclaiming the gospel. I don't know if it's just because he had sloppy handwriting, but he often had other people write for him. But this particular book, this letter, Galatians, if you read Galatians 6:11, he says, look at how my letters are getting bigger. He's like frantically writing this with emotion. He has heard a crisis is developing. And what the crisis is that the truth that he presented to the Galatians, those in this area of Galatia, which is now in the area of modern-day Turkey, he went there proclaiming the gospel, telling them the simple truth that Jesus loves them, that if they put their belief in him, he will forgive them, Jesus will save them from their sins, and they will become children of God. The gospel has become perverted. And while he has been away, he has heard that they are adding things to this gospel. There are false teachers that have moved in, and they've started teaching, well, sure, it's good to believe in Jesus, but you have to do all of these other things as well. You have to make sure you visit the synagogue enough times. You have to make sure you're giving enough to the temple. You have to make sure, men, that you're circumcised even though you're adults. You know, that wasn't too popular. But anyways, there were all these other things being added onto the gospel. And it perverted it. And it was changing it. And as he continues to write, he continues to address another crowd who simply thought believing was enough. I believe in Jesus. And in a sense, they were signing up for fire insurance. They heard that if they put their belief in Jesus Christ, that one day they may never have to go to hell where there is fire. Oh yeah, sign me up. Who wants to go to hell, right? And so they thought believing was enough. And so they thought, well, what do I have to do to do the very basic to become a Christian? Okay, I need to attend a study once in a while. Say I believe. Okay, that's easy. And then they went on living their lives, however, without the impact of the gospel affecting any other area of life. And both extremes are wrong. Both extremes are a false gospel. And God wants us to see that the simple gospel, the true gospel, is simply this. Jesus loved you. He came and he gave his life for you. If you believe in him and accept his forgiveness in your life, you will be made a new creation. The Holy Spirit will come in you and seal you. And you will become a child of God. Now, yes, there's a process of maturity. There's a process of you growing closer into the person God is calling you to be. But those are things that follow you being born as a new creation. So, at Hope Hill Church, we're about glorifying God. We're about seeing lives transformed. We're about going out and impacting the world, being the hands and the feet of Jesus. But those are not the ends in and of themselves. They are something that we do because we are now children of God. They don't make us a child of God. Does that make sense? Okay. I want to somehow get you to wake up and be more responsive. How many of you have been to one of our free sales? Can you show us some of the pictures? We're going to see if you're lying or not. If you're in these pictures, you're telling the truth. Okay? All right. So these are some of the pictures here. Hope Hill Church started a couple years ago as a vision and a dream and a thought. It came from God. God laid on my heart and the heart of a small group of other people that it was time to see another church be born, another extension of the body of Christ. And many of us, before Hope Hill Church even officially began, we knew that God wanted us not just to start another organization that would come together and sing a few songs and read a couple verses every once in a while, but God wanted us to be the church, not just go to church. And God wanted us to have our eyes open to the poor and the needy in our community. Many of us live in communities like this here in Manassas and Woodbridge, and we look across the street and we don't necessarily see all the needs that God wants us to see. But there are more people in Prince William County below the poverty line than above it. And a lot of times we just aren't aware of it. And so many of us, we emptied out our attics, our closets, our garages, and we brought all this stuff to a school gym, Mary Williams Elementary, and we said, instead of doing a yard sale and trying to make money, let's just give this stuff away. In the book of Acts chapter 2, as the Christian believers were coming together and God was changing them and saving them, they looked at each other and said, there are needs amongst us, and we need to give to one another to meet those needs. And so we did that. Many of you here were a part of that first one. How many of you were a part of that first one? All right. How many of you have been a part one since? I think we've done 3 since then. We typically do one in the fall and in the spring. Well, May 20th, we're going to do another one. Here at this first one, we had a few hundred people in the community come and be blessed by the donations of many of you here. By the third one, or the maybe even the second one, we expanded to the whole gym was full. Imagine this whole gym full of stuff that's been freely donated so that people in need can be blessed. And that's what we want to do. We want to say, God, continually show us how we can not just learn about you, but to walk as you walked, to be here making a difference, to have compassion for people who are lost and far from you, and help us to meet their needs. And so, on May 20th, many of you, all of you, are going to be invited to come and to worship God that Sunday morning with us through service. Now, many times we have a worship service here, but that day we will not worship together here. We will worship God through serving our community on Sunday. Is that the May 20th? Okay. So be ready for that. But if all you're doing at Hope Hill Church is simply waiting for the next way to be doing a good deed and be a part of an event, and it's not bringing you closer to Jesus, then you're doing it in vain. If you aren't going to a Bible study to get closer to Jesus, but simply to acquire more information and learn more about the King, and you're not getting to know the King personally, then it's being done in vain. In John chapter 6, Jesus came to the Pharisees of his time, the religious leaders of his time. Jesus was often teaching in the synagogue, and he ran into these other teachers, and he saw that they were simply about teaching knowledge to show how good they were at learning. They were teaching stuff to say, look how good we are and how bad you are. And they were doing it out of pride. And Jesus looked at them and he said, on the outside you look like you have it all together, but on the inside you are dead and you're disgusting and you're full of dead man's bones. Let us not be like that. They were simply trying to acquire knowledge for the sake of, I know more than you. Look at me. One of them even prayed that way. God, I am so glad I am not like that sinner over there. The truth is that the Bible tells us that all of us are born in sin. Each and every one of us have sin in our lives. And Christ wants us to be humbly broken before him, to realize that we cannot come to him. Our good works, the Bible compares. Paul says your good works, your best works, are as good as filthy rags. That's how good our good works are. We cannot earn our way to heaven. We cannot earn the gospel. If we think we can, we are believing the wrong kind of gospel. We're believing in the wrong thing. All right, so I've got 9 minutes left to get through 10 verses. Let's go Galatians chapter 1. So the crisis that was developing here in Galatia is that many of these were new believers. The church was just starting. A church plant had just formed. And in this region of Galatia, many small churches, pockets of believers were meeting from home to home and in different areas, and people were coming to know the gospel. But other teachers, and many of them who were former Jews, were stepping in and saying, sure, it's okay to know Jesus Christ, but you also have to become a Jew if you really want to be a real Christian. And they were adding to the gospel. Have any of you heard of a book called Jesus Plus Nothing? Is that the name, title of it, Tony? Equals everything. Many of us haven't realized that Jesus is all we need. And yes, it's very important that we come together. Jesus says, assemble together, come together regularly, build each other up and encourage each other. But if you somehow think that you can earn God's favor by attending church enough, then you're into it for the wrong reason. If you think that you can somehow give enough to get God to bless you more, you're totally missing the boat. It's wrong. Let's read this together. I'm going to read all straight through the 10 verses, and then we'll come back and we'll see how much we can get through together today, going a step at a time. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men, nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brothers who were with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ, and you are turning to a what? A different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion, and they are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one that we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. All right, let's go back to chapter 1. And we're going to go through this kind of verse by verse as we go through the book of Galatians. I'm going to give you some historical background, some of the stuff behind what's being said. And I pray that the Holy Spirit makes sense to your heart, what God wanted captured in these words. And I pray, God, that you give me the words as I try to teach. And I ask you, as we go through this study, if you, in your worship guides or in a book such as this, want to take notes, if you get questions, if something comes up that you're like, where'd you get that, John? Write it down. Email me. Call me. Let's dialogue. Let's work through the scriptures together, and let's let God teach us corporately. All right, so first of all, we're going to go kind of verse by verse and pick out some major stuff. Are you ready? Paul. All right, I'm going to stop there. How many of you know, kind of, you could summarize the life of Paul? And okay, good. About 10 of you, okay? All right, so I'm going to kind of fill us in a little bit. First of all, this guy, Paul, he's a little older in life now, but he was raised as a guy with another name, Saul. It wasn't that he was trying to deceive people. God just literally changed his name later in life. As the young man and as the young adult growing up, this guy named Saul was a Jew. He was a Jew among Jews, one of the best. And when I mean Jew, he wasn't just born in the Jewish, you know, DNA from his parents, but he, religiously, he was a Jew. He was sought out to know the scriptures, the Torah. What books of the Bible make up the Torah? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Five books of the Bible. Now, as Paul is speaking, he is saying, I am one of the best of the best. And back then, if you were one of those, you like memorized those first five books of the Bible. You memorized, not just, how many of you know like five scripture verses you've memorized? Five books of the Bible. Paul memorized them. He was religiously set on being better than all others. He wanted to know God, and he wanted to know everything about God. And so Paul was just on fire for, I'm going to be after God, and anything that comes in the way of God has to get out of the way. And so later in life, when this movement came up, this movement that was called the Way, this guy named Jesus appeared on the scene, and he was teaching that the Pharisees were leading many astray, and that it wasn't about just obeying the law of Moses. It was about having your heart transformed. And so many people were following this guy named Jesus. And Paul was like, this guy needs to be taken out. And he was on the side of the Jewish and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, this ruling council of the Jewish nation. And they wanted Jesus crucified. And Jesus decided to give up his life. We celebrated that. We celebrated the fact that Jesus gave up his life for us. And he turned himself over to the Jews for them to have him crucified. Later, after Jesus has risen from the dead, and he has proclaimed to his 11 disciples that are still alive, Judas has gone out and hung himself. He says, now I want you to be used by me to go out and spread the gospel and to teach the world all the things I've taught you. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as you teach them, the Holy Spirit is going to give you power to be my witnesses. And so as they start to spread this gospel, this movement of Christianity is growing, and Saul wants to stop. And so one day, these believers who are following this message of the gospel, Acts chapter 6, if you want to read it, this guy named Stephen is chosen to be one of the first deacons, if you will, a servant of the body of Christ. And this guy named Stephen is selected to be one of these deacons, and he is serving people, but he's also proclaiming the message of Jesus, and he is arrested and brought in front of these Jews. And Paul is there, and these Jews are telling him, you need to either change your words, repent of what you're saying, or we're going to kill you. You're teaching a false gospel. And, well, they didn't call it the gospel. You're teaching the wrong ways of God. And he says, I'm sorry, but Jesus is the truth, and you just killed him. And so they took him out, blasphemy, they threw him outside, and as many of the Sanhedrin gathered together, they picked up stones. And Saul walked over to one of the guys and said, let me have your coat. You'll throw better if you're not wearing that heavy coat. And Saul is literally taking people's coats as they're picking up rocks to kill this Christian. And Saul is cheering them on. And he's like, I heard that down in Damascus, there is a Christian movement growing. Let me go there with some soldiers and we'll stop the movement there. And so Saul gets on his horses and he rides with these soldiers to Damascus. And on the road to Damascus, God says, okay, it's time. It's time for Saul to have a change. And Jesus himself appears from heaven and blinds Saul. Saul, a voice comes out of heaven and says, Saul, why are you doing this? And Saul falls off his horse. The guards are blinded. And Saul turns up and he's like, what is going on? Close encounters of the fourth kind. And he's freaking out. And God says, and you're like, is this really in the Bible? Yes. Acts chapter 9, I believe, okay? So Saul literally calls up to heaven, and he thinks he's talking to God, and Jesus himself says, it is I, Jesus, whom you are persecuting. You are persecuting the church, and you are persecuting me, and from now on, I am going to use you. Instead of killing him, I mean, Paul has literally been responsible for people being murdered. And God says, I'm not going to take your life. I am going to take your life, but I'm not going to kill you. Instead, your life is now going to be mine, and I'm going to use you to teach about me to the ends of the world. And Paul becomes one of the first missionaries. He's a Jew of all Jews. He is totally knows the Jewish custom, the Jewish ways. He's been brought up in Jewish education. So who better to go and serve, right? Is he sent to the Jews? No. That's what doesn't make sense sometimes. Sometimes God doesn't care what your experience or background is. He's going to send you somewhere else. And that's what God says to Saul. Yeah, maybe you've been this great Jew, but now I'm going to send you to reach all the non-Jews, the Gentiles. And he gets sent to all these places, all over Asia and Europe and all throughout those lands, and he starts growing the church. Paul. Okay, we're going to take each word and go that long. It is getting late, and so we do have to pause in our teaching. But I want you to see that Paul is writing this letter because, as I said at the beginning, Paul is in love with these people. He's in love with God, and he's in love with Jesus, and he wants people to know the truth. But as you saw later in this chapter that we read, they begin to start making the gospel something that it was never intended to be. They think, as many of us sometimes do, that we have to become religious in order to have a relationship with Jesus. And the truth is that no religion will earn your way to heaven. The only way that you and I can get to heaven is if we put our belief in Jesus Christ and we allow his forgiveness that he offered to be brought upon us, and he takes our place. The punishment while he was on the cross that he took was ours. And if you put your faith in him and you realize that, Jesus, it's not what I can do. I can't read enough of the word. I can't memorize enough of the word in order to earn your love. I can't witness enough to people in order to earn your love. I can't attend church enough to earn your love. I simply come to you as a broken person and say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Come into my life. Make me your child. And that is how you become a Christian. Now, even a child that's born has to grow up. And there are things, yes, that we should learn. I'm all about studying the word. I'm all about praying and helping one another. But those things come from a Christian. They don't make you a Christian. And we're going to break through this a lot over the next several weeks as we get into this book of Galatians. This guy, Paul, he was sent by God, not by man, to tell us these truths. And so as we as a young church want to figure out how we can be the church God wants us to be, it's best for us to go back to the Word of God and to read letters like this so that we can follow the right example and avoid making the wrong mistakes. Let's pray together. God, I ask that you come into my life and that you continue to show me how I can be more in love with you, how I can follow you more and not just follow a set of rights and wrongs, but God, to walk more intimately with you. God, I pray that for each and every person here. That yes, God, that we would develop an appetite that wants to get to know you more, that wants to live the kind of life that you lived, but God, not so that we can somehow think that we become better than others, but so that we have a more intimate relationship with you. God, show us the difference. Show us what it means to walk with you and to be led by you, and not to just simply try to stack up enough righteous works so that we somehow earn your favor. God, show us truth. God, I pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will teach us these things. Amen. Will you look up here with me? As we close our services each week, we take a time to personally reflect on what happened on the cross. We take communion together, the Lord's Supper. On each side of the room is a basket of bread. Jesus, before he died, he took a piece of bread and he was with those he loved, his closest friends and disciples. And he said, when you eat this, I want you to remember me. I want you to remember what I've done for you. I want you to remember how my body is going to be given for you. And then he took the cup of juice or wine that was on the table at that time. And he held it up and he said, this cup, when you drink it, I want you to remember how my blood was shed for you. And as that cup was passed, each person dipped bread and they ate and remembered what Christ was going to do for them. And so Paul encourages us that as we gather together as the body of Christ, that we do the same, that we remember. We take a piece of bread, we dip it in a cup to remember the body broken and the blood shed for you and for me. Now I say this, and please, I hope this doesn't turn you away. If it offends you, I'm sorry. But this is a time for you to ask yourself, was the body broken for me and was the blood shed for me, or do I even believe this stuff? And my hope is that today you would sit there and say, you know what? I don't. I've never given my life to Christ. I need to. I need to be broken. I need to surrender. I need to stop thinking that if I attend Hope Hill Church enough, maybe I'll earn my way into heaven. I'll stack up enough good so good outweighs the bad. That's your works are going to be compared as filthy rags. They're never going to be good enough. So today, the first thing I invite you to do is to look at your heart and say, God, I need you. Forgive me. Make me new. Come into my life. Make me a child of yours. Maybe I don't understand everything in your word yet, but that is important. I understand that you love me, that you want to forgive me, that you want to come in my life. I give my life to you. And so that's what I invite you to do first this morning, if you've never done that. And as you give your life to Christ, and as we worship together as a body, that then you respond in remembering what Christ did for you. We have prayer teams in the back. If you feel like you need to pray with someone about this issue or about others, I'll be down here in front if you want to pray with me. And if today you are giving your heart to Christ, I pray that you let one of us know so that we can celebrate with you and pray with you about this. So let's respond now as the Holy Spirit leads us. Let's let it be about Him. God, move in our midst. Holy Spirit, I pray that you open hearts. God, if there's somebody here who's ready to call on you but has never yet done that, that they would do that here this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Respond as you feel led.